And now, coming to you nearly live from deep within a mineshaft underneath Gold Hill, Nevada in Story County, it's the Storyteller Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Toll. Welcome, everyone, here in Story County, Northern Nevada, and across the Fruited Plains. I'm coming to you today here in Gold Hill, looking out, beautiful day. It was thunderstorming yesterday. I'm recording this on the 22nd of July. Going to be broadcasting a show I was on with, a guest with, Sheriff Gerald Antonoro, the Sheriff Jerry and Friends, every Thursday from 1 to 2 on Air America. I'm sorry, Air America, Radio Air America, that's good. No, on America Matters Radio in Reno, Nevada, AM 1180, and streaming at americamatters.us. Had the pleasure of meeting James Smack, who is the assistant or deputy director, one of those, I think he's deputy director of the controller's office. Ron Connect, who is running for re-election this year, is joined by James. And last week we posted one of the weekly editorials that they push, which I enjoy reading on the Storyteller. So check that out if you get a moment. It's a good read. But on that show, Jerry announced that once again, he is the subject of an ethics investigation. Chris Thompson at TRI, the Mustang Ranch, and Blockchains, once again is going to drag the community through the mud and make an effort in dragging the sheriff through that same mud with an ethics complaint. Now, Chris Thompson, if you don't know, and those of you who read The Teller, by golly, you should know by now who Chris Thompson is. He is the Gilman Trust Risk Assessment Manager. He is Story County Planning Director or Planning Board Member. He is the Project Manager for whatever project it is that they've got under construction out there in the land of Trick out there at the Industrial Park. And if you believe the narrative, Lance Gilman's bunkmate at a double-wide trailer behind the brothel at the Mustang. Once again, he has gone to the ethics board and has asked the ethics committee to look at Gerald's grievous crime of wearing his uniform on the signs that he has posted for re-election. That would be the fourth election that the people have voted to retain him. And, you know, unfortunately, Lance Gilman, who employs Chris, and Chris himself just simply won't let go. It's really frustrating to have the community once again have to endure the public display of and anger that Mr. Thompson and Mr. Gilman continue to inflict upon us and upon our sheriff. When I was a kid growing up, it, you know, it reminds me of Jack, our hound dog. One day, Jack came home with a face full of porcupine quills, and we couldn't afford to take him to the vet. So my dad bought a tube of pain-killing goop, and we applied it to dear old Jack. It didn't seem to do much good because, you know, when my dad held him down and I held the pliers and yanked out porcupine quill after porcupine quill, old Jack let out a every time we'd Every time I would yank one of those quills out, I couldn't get them all, but we got most of them. And, you know, by the time I was done an hour later, he was a bloody mess. And it just broke my heart because I knew it hurt him so bad. And, you know, it was really disappointing to see him come back home a week later with another face full of porcupine quills. And, you know, Chris reminds me an awful lot of Jack in that way. I mean, he won't give up. He gets hurt every single time. But he's not the only one, again, that gets hurt. It's us in the community, and frankly, we're tired of it. So, Lance and Chris, I know you guys listen. Give it a rest, fellas. Seriously, it's time. You know, it's over. You guys need to stop, and you need to you know, heal, let the community heal, and get back to, you know, selling land and developing parcels out there and getting some revenue into the coffers of Story County. Listening to you guys talk, the promise of Trick is just amazing, and you know, C Street's awash in cash. Of course, Lance, you've promised us that we were going to get money back, you know, whether it's a check or tax rebates or property tax rollbacks. Since 2014, because of the amazing success of the industrial park, yet the numbers just don't bear it out. If you read the teller, you'll know I've posted the budget analysis that I've done, and looking at the budget that's on the Story County website, the audited budget of 2015-2016, which is when Tesla broke ground. If you look at the revenues that we banked that year, and then you look at the projected revenues that we're going to bank in fiscal year 2018-19, the revenues are down. We're projected to bank less money in 2018-2019 than we banked before Tesla got here. So, you know, the promise of Trick is really not yet materialized. I expect it will. Who knows how much it will. GoEd just released a press release yesterday talking about more businesses that have been granted abatements. So, you know, it's really tiresome to hear the talk that you guys unleash upon us on one side of your mouth telling us how great you guys are at the park, and out of the other side of the mouth telling us what a horrible sheriff we've got. The facts don't wash on either regard, and it's time to give it a rest. So without any further ado, it's the Sheriff Jerry and Friends Show. Enjoy.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Sheriff Jerry and Friends, and I am Story County Sheriff Gerald Antonaro. If you'd like to get involved with today's show, whether you're listening on 1180 AM, KCKQ, a Lotus radio signal, or online at americamatters.us and clicking on the Listen Live button, you can call in toll-free at 844-790-TALK. That's 844-790-8255, toll-free anywhere in the world. And today we are welcoming back our friend, the storyteller, Sam Toll, owner and author of The Storyteller Online. Welcome back, Sam. We're always glad to have you here.
Jerry, it's always great to be here. Thanks for inviting me again.
And we are privileged today to have none other than James Smack. James is a former Nevada Republican National Committee man. He is also the Deputy State Controller for Controller Ron Connect, and I just found out moments before the show that he is also a contributor helper to the Wainema Ranch, which listeners will be aware of. James, welcome to the show.
Sheriff, it's a pleasure to be here.
So just a couple things before we get into conversation. This weekend coming up in Virginia City is the 6th annual Comstock Classic Car Show. That's going to be on Saturday the 21st, so if you like old cars, come on up. You can have your fill of them. Then in just a couple of weeks, of course, we'll have the kickoff to Hot August Nights. So there's always something to do in Story County. We hope you will come and see us.
I'm kind of bummed that my 69 GTO isn't ready for that show, Jerry. I'd love to do a few donuts there at Miners Park.
Well, I watch it. I see it sitting there in your yard rusting out. You need to get it fixed.
10-4.
Sam, we hope to have a colleague of yours on the show today, but as scheduling allows, that wasn't possible. David Colborne, is that correct?
Yeah, Dave.
Recently penned a piece where he pointed out some of the controversy surrounding both the Republican and Democratic parties and their respective positions, and he had a little bit to say about Story County and the assembly race down in southern Nevada, and pointed to some things with the governor's race as well. But I guess the one takeaway that I had from that is that people are unhappy with the status quo and are voting against it, or what we usually call the good old boy system. So Dave is a librarian, excuse me, libertarian. A libertarian, I got to quit teasing you about that.
That's okay.
And as are you, so please enlighten us as to the libertarian perspective on this.
Well, you know, as I do a lot of outreach. I think I've mentioned it on this show. I've reached out to kids in South Placer County where I moved back from. And, you know, I tell the kids, listen, you know, you can have your choice of Cheerios or Honey Nut Cheerios every day for the rest of your life. And that's really what the duopoly that the Republicans and the Democrats represent. The Libertarians, on the other hand, take a little bit from each party and roll it into our party. And, you know, we like to talk about liberty, freedom, and I like to tell the kids, hey, you know, if you want ice cream and pizza for breakfast, the Libertarian Party is your folks. But specifically, I think what Dave was talking about is the fact that both the Democrats and the Republicans are losing party members. They're not registering new people who come to the state, and folks are like my daughter, who would not register when she registered to vote recently as a Libertarian. They're registering as nonpartisan, and there's a lot of folks who, as I did, as I call myself a reformed liberal, recognize that the Democratic Party had moved far, far away from my ideals. So, as Libertarians, you know, we're looking for different things to appeal to voters who, again, like me, feel that their party that they aligned themselves with have left them. One of the interesting things that we're working on is helping a guy named Doug Goodman, who's the founder and executive director for Nevadans for Election Reform. Doug's got a referendum or a question that we're going to try to put on the ballot to have a ranked voting system so that people can choose the candidate that they'd like to win and then the one that they think maybe should win or is the lesser of two evils.
Is that something like what Maine is doing, ranked choice? Aren't they the first ones that did that?
Exactly right. And it's, you know, it's an interesting approach. I think that it would change Nevada's primary system. Yeah. So that there would be you know, there wouldn't be a primary. We would have the ability to select who we wanted at the general election. And for third parties, of course, that appeals greatly to us because, again, you know, if your choice is simply between Sisolak, Laxalt, and then our candidate, you know, the Libertarian Party might say, well, geez, the Republican or the Democrat, you know, Laxalt or Sisolak really is awfully horrible and they've got a great chance of winning. So we'll vote against that person and not vote for our candidate simply to try and affect the outcome of the election. So that was what Dave was writing about. And I think it's an interesting thing. I think, you know, again, I think the status quo is strangling our country, strangling us here in the state. And, of course, has strangled us locally. You know, Jerry, as you know, Jack McGuffey was ousted in the general, and he represents what most people think are the good old boys in Story County. So, you know, so that's kind of where us librarians are at.
Well, and I'll apologize to you once again. I joke around with you by calling you a librarian. My slip. I don't mean to apply that. No offense to any of the libertarians.
None taken.
I know several who are decent people.
Yeah, there's a couple of us. No, well, what we'd like to say is that most folks actually are libertarians. They just don't know it yet. And the more that they are exposed to our party and our values and what we believe in, the more they realize that they're actually crazy librarians instead of Republicans.
Well, and the way that I've termed myself in over the course of my career playing in politics here in the state of Nevada, primarily in Republican politics. But
okay, James, I'm going to have to cut you off because we got to go to a break. But
we'll pick it right up.
The other side. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. And just before the break, James, you were talking about the our topic where we had just come back from the libertarian perspective on things. I had to cut you off, but please pick up where you are.
Well, I just wanted to say that, first of all, I consider myself a libertarian conservative, and I'm a registered Republican, have been since 2007, but prior to that point, I was a registered libertarian going back to, I'd say the mid-90s. I was a registered libertarian the entire time I lived in Florida, and then when I moved out here, I was a registered libertarian up until 2007. My initial intention in moving over to the Republican Party was strictly to caucus for Ron Paul when he was running for the presidency in 2008. I'm still proud of the fact that the first presidential election I was able to vote in 1988, I voted for Ron Paul for president of the United States at that point, and I still think he would have made a fantastic president. That being said, once I got inside the Republican Party and I started to see how it all worked, and I said, you know what, I've spent an awful lot of years throwing rocks at the Republicans and throwing rocks at the Democrats' glass houses from the outside, and I can't seem to break anything, but it's a lot more fun to break China once I get inside. So I've been breaking China ever since, and it's I certainly question the establishment on a pretty regular basis. I believe that my boss, Controller Ron Connect, does the same thing with our columns and with our controller's annual report, which is our 24-page publication that's available at controller.nv.gov. And that publication there will give you all sorts of information about revenues and spending and an economic outlook. And I'll summarize it in one sentence. Nevada doesn't have a revenue problem. Nevada has a spending problem.
Boy, howdy.
Yeah. We have heard that before.
Mm-hmm. Probably from Ron.
So kind of leads me down the path of where I was hoping to go anyway. You know, I've seen a couple of press releases from Laxalt's team, mm-hmm, on the campaign trail. One new report on Shady Steve highlights FBI investigation into Sisolak. Sisolak's political machine attempts to intimidate Laxalt campaign. Interesting in that.
And as the Carpenters said, it's only just begun.
Well, true. These press releases, and at least the response I've been seeing from Shady Steve's camp, you know, he doesn't seem to have a whole lot of problem of dredging up nonsense on other people, but when someone points out his missteps, boy, he sounds a lot like some of my detractors. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, some of them are supporting Sisolak. But he's threatening lawsuits, legal action against the, you know, people who are speaking against him. And like I say, that's the same thing my friend, the storyteller here, can attest to. I'm in the middle of all of it, and that's what we are dealing with here. And many of those, or some of those same folks, just barely came out in support of Shady Steve. So, you know, it's kind of strange how these people all glom together.
What Clark County Commissioner Sisolak needs to remember is, first of all, he's no longer in Democrat-friendly Clark County running now. He's running in a statewide race. The other 16 counties are somewhere to the right of Steve Sisolak in their government structure and everything. Everything from Washoe County on down to the smallest counties in the state, Esmeralda, Story County, Eureka County, they're all going to be a more conservative place than, and it's not going to be familiar territory for somebody whose entire political career has been based in Clark County, which leans to the left. And somebody needs to tell Shady Steve that politics is a contact sport, and if he's afraid of contact, maybe he shouldn't have run in the first place.
Now, I found some of these things I've read about him and his past pretty enlightening, to say the least. And I don't know the facts behind it or the truth, but you know, if I follow in his footsteps, he doesn't know the first thing about me or Story County or what's going on there or who the players are, but yet he doesn't have any problem at all running off at the mouth about how the horrible sheriff in Story County is threatening the freedom of our country and probably the sovereignty of our world. And now he's using it as a bully tactic, trying to go after Laxalt.
And that's exactly what you expect from a fat cat liberal from Clark County that's running for governor. And the fact of the matter is, Sheriff, you know as well as anybody, probably more so, how much politics can be a contact sport. You've certainly had to absorb quite a bit of contact yourself over the past several years since I've known you, and since I've been following your career, and since I've been associated with you. And you know something? I know you're a good man, and the folks that voted for you know that you're a good man, and you're an excellent sheriff, probably one of the best, if not one of the best, if not the best sheriff in the state, with all due respect to my friend Ben Trotter. I'm gonna say you're one and one A, and I'm just gonna go with that.
Ben's retiring from the sheriff race.
Yeah, so you get number one all by yourself after November. So, but unless we get a good constitutional conservative sheriff elected somewhere else, but no slight on Al McNeil, my sheriff in Lyon County. He's been I supported his opponent 4 years ago, but I'm supporting him for re-election this time because he's pleasantly surprised me. He's communicated well with our county. He communicates well with the citizens, and I think he's done a good job. I really do. So, I can change over time, and well, I think that Al deserves the support of the voters in Lyon County. So, I'll make my plug for Al here.
Yeah, well, and I'm going to follow you right down that rabbit hole because I will tell you I did not know Al when he first ran, gave him the benefit of the doubt. I try to stay out of other people's politics. I worry about my own backyard. So I just kind of watched with interest. Al got elected. I didn't know the man. But I'll tell you, over the last 4 years of working with him and seeing the relationship that his agency and my agency have built and put together, tell you what, man has got my respect, and anything I can do to help him. Any of you Story or Lyon County listeners that are out there, Al's a good guy. It'll be your loss if he's not there in January.
Very kind, Sheriff.
You know, it's interesting. I'd like to pick up on what you said there, James, about Mr. Sisolak being a fat cat. The research that I've done, and albeit it's not in depth or lengthy, but he's got some pretty serious backing from some pretty big players. And if you look at his the potential for cronyism and for the potential for the interests of the few to be chosen over the interests of the many, I think that he would be a good candidate in that regard. That may be one of the reasons that our detractors, we'll call them, have snuggled up with them and are holding a fundraiser for him here in the next couple weeks.
Well, and we don't often refer to a lot of folks by name, but they know who they are, and a good number of our listeners, I'm sure, know who they are. So we can refer to them as detractors.
Detractors.
And, then nobody gets sued.
Yeah, not the John Deere type either. Not those kind of detractors.
Right. Yes. And the important thing to remember is that both of the leading gubernatorial candidates are going to get a lot of money from a lot of different sources and that type of thing. The question that people have to ask themselves is who's going to let it influence them the most? Because I'll be honest with you, ever since we put in term limits, and I was a fan of term limits, I still am a fan of term limits, even though it's going to affect the gentleman that I'm working for after this term. This is the last time that he can run for controller, but it's still, I think on the face of it, it's a good thing, but it puts an awful lot of power in that legislative building into the hands of the lobbyists. And if those are lobbyists that donated to political campaigns, people need to watch that. The governor and his appointed staff are much more powerful now than they were 10, 12, 14 years ago before term limits came into effect. Before that, there was pretty equivalent power between the three branches of government in this state. There's less power in the legislature now than there is in the governor's mansion, and there's got to be something done to correct that imbalance. There has to be, whether we modify term limits in a way where there's a cooling off period where they serve for 12 and then have to take 6 off or something like that, where we don't lose that institutional knowledge, because that's a big thing going on statewide right now. A lot of folks are retiring. There's a lot of people that are going out with Governor Sandoval, and say what you will about Governor Sandoval, he did have a lot of good people that were working for him within the state. I've worked with a number of them. I have seen several of them retire. The institutional knowledge of the government of this state is going to be suffering, and it's going to be suffering substantially under whoever becomes the next governor, and they need to be ready for that.
Well, and that's always a problem when you have that institutional knowledge that is caught up in the vacuum. But the problem that, and I think Sam can attest to this, you also have the negative that comes along with that, and that's the folks that have been there so long that they know how to work the system, and not necessarily to the betterment of the constituents.
Oh, I concur with that. I concur with that, and that's the positive you get from term limits, is you don't have anybody that's in the same position in the legislature for 12 years or the same constitutional office for 8 years or county commission seats or what have you. But I tend to like a model more like what Oregon or Ohio has, where they have a cooling off period where you can, the governor can run for no more than two terms in a row, but they have to take at least one term off, and the constitutional officers are restricted the same way. I don't think I've always had a little concern about the lifetime restriction aspect of a particular office. If you run for 12 years, you can never run for it again.
Well, I think too, part of the problem is that once someone has sat in that seat for a while, they tend to lose the appreciation of why they got there in the first place. You know, you pointed out Ron Paul, and if you listen to some of the things that he said at the very beginning of his career in the early 80s, he was consistent throughout his entire career, and he never changed, he never waffled, and he was always looking out for the little guy and looking out for the people. And and unfortunately, you know, for example, I will admit that I voted for President Obama when he first, ran, because I was war weary, what happened under George Bush, many of the things I was frustrated with. And Obama talked a great talk. He could actually enunciate. He was poised. He could deliver a great speech. The minute he got into office, what it is that he promised when he was on the trail to get elected, immediately fell off.
We're talking about change and breaks, and unfortunately, we have to take one. So we'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. Before the break, we were talking about some of the stuff on the state level. I'm going to try and dial that back just a little bit, but expand it out at the same time. Neat how you can go both ways. We're talking about some of the problems with politics, and we had mentioned detractors. Sometimes they just never, ever stop, no matter what you do. So I know my guests will find this new, because I just found out myself. Just about an hour or so ago, I was served with yet another ethics violation complaint from my detractors. This happened to come from their disbarred mouthpiece that writes a lot of their stuff for them. And my heinous and evil thing that I have done this time is some of my campaign signs, and of course my website and stuff like that, had the audacity of depicting me in uniform with a badge. Now, 4 years ago, I had that same complaint filed against me, and the Ethics Commission threw it out. I know a sheriff on the other side of the state who had that same complaint filed against him. Ultimately, that got thrown out. But now, maybe because of who's making the complaint, the Ethics Commission feels that they need to address it. So I can't help but wonder, as I drove down from Virginia City today, with all of the abatements going on with the fees and taxes, all that kind of stuff out there in the industrial center, and all of these legal actions that these guys keep bringing against me that have yet to merit anything, here we are yet again, the detractors, trying to stir a problem, going to cost the people of Story County more money and attorney's fees and everything, because they are not happy that I am there as the sheriff. So, we just approved a budget that was, what was it, Sam, 1.7, 1.2 million in the red. How's that look to the state folks, James?
Well, we're certainly keeping an eye on it, and I certainly can. It's really gets kind of annoying when I hear any county sheriff getting pushed around like you are, and basically having to chase squirrels. And when I call chasing squirrels, meaning they put enough different things out there that they're going to kind of give you the death of a thousand cuts. And that's not fair. That's not fair to you. You're the duly elected sheriff of Story County. You're the county sovereign. You shouldn't be having to fight all this off. It's from what I've seen, it's been pretty unfounded to this point. So they want to keep throwing things up at you. And what they're not doing is trying to figure out a way where everybody can work together. It doesn't seem like that's what they're trying to do. All they're trying to do is that they're going to try and take Jerry Antonoro out at all costs and basically beat him down enough where he just gets tired of it, throws his hands up in frustration, and walks away. I know Jerry Antonoro well enough that that's not going to happen, but they're still going to continue to try it. And looking at it from a taxpayer perspective, looking at it as a state government employee, it's pretty frustrating for me.
You know, it is really remarkable. In fairness, every sheriff in the state of Nevada needs to toe the line. They need to do their job. They need to follow the laws, and they need to respect the folks that they serve. The facts, however, are as you described. I mean, that literally it is a relentless, I've called it a death match on my site. And the thing that I find remarkable about this, Jerry, you just mentioned that you're in uniform on your political signs. I seem to remember question one that was being decided in 2016, and there were four or five sheriffs in uniform who were supporting this on television. And I just don't understand how it is that is an unethical approach to being reelected. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've seen folks campaign for themselves in law enforcement wearing their uniform. I don't understand it. But then again, there are, 20,000-30,000 pages of laws that are on the books that I certainly know nothing about and probably violate every day just wandering around the streets.
Well, and not meaning to throw too much back at the Ethics Commission, but I'll tell you, the ethics laws are very ambiguous at best, which mm-hmm. is why we always have this type of stuff. And one of the big problems, and you know, God forbid somebody from the Ethics Commission is listening, because I know I'm not their favorite right now, and they're definitely not mine. There is nobody who has oversight of that place. Half of their board is appointed by the legislature. Half of it is appointed by the governor. If you have any kind of an issue, the legislature appoints the governor. Governor appoints to the legislature, and there is absolutely nothing you can do short of one of them committing murder. And even then, if you know, they may still allow themselves to sit on the board with that.
Something that I've supported in the last two legislative sessions that has not gotten off the ground. And to be honest with you, this has been a bipartisan effort. I've been actually working with folks like Andrew Martin. If you don't remember Andrew Martin, he was actually the gentleman who ran against Ron 4 years ago for controller. And working with a gentleman named Mikey Kelly down in Clark County, who used to, I think he was the Clark County vice chairman for the Democrat Party. I've been working with Democrats on trying to get an inspector general for the state of Nevada, an independent inspection mechanism that can look at things like state contracts, that can provide oversight to the Ethics Commission. And that inspector general, by rule, would be appointed by the governor, approved by the legislature, but then that person would be completely autonomous. That would not be the only way that person could be removed would be for cause. Well, so in other words, it's technically a lifetime appointment. So they're either removed for cause, or they walk away from it voluntarily. But what you're doing there is you're providing them, you take them completely out of things like the procurement process and everything like that, give them total independent oversight over anything in the state they wish to inspect, anything they want to take a look at, they have the opportunity to do so. And yeah, it would be an appointed position, but it's not an appointed position that could be replaced at the whim of the next governor or the whim of that same governor if he doesn't like what the inspector general is doing, and it will allow that person to be fully independent.
Well, and that may have some merit if it allows somebody to actually have oversight of some of these places that, you know, it's at best, it's a guess as to who is in charge or who can say or take any kind of a corrective action. But, like Sam had pointed out, or like you had said, James, this death by a thousand cuts, and we're seeing this all across the country. We're seeing it in the governor's race. We're seeing it in Washington, D.C. It's like whoever's got the most money or the biggest voice or the deepest pockets, you know, we just push because we want what we want. In my instance, I've been elected 4 times now by the people of Story County. 3 times in elections, and they kept me in during the recall that my mm-hmm. detractors attempted to oust me in last year. So 4 times the people of Story County have elected me, and yet this small little group that has a lot of money and power, and they just want total control, and so they just keep pushing. And even in an instance like this latest ethics complaint, which has had previous redress by the Ethics Commission, but again, 4 years ago, it wasn't important enough for the Ethics Commission to look at. 4 years ago, they dismissed that charge against one of my colleagues across the state. Now, We have my detractors who have power, they have money, they have influence. Now they're making the complaint, so by golly, the Ethics Commission is going to get to the bottom of this. There seems to be no consistency, nobody gets to looking at this stuff and saying, hey, wait a minute, these guys have made a dozen complaints that have no merit. How long do they get to keep doing that stuff? Because just like 4 years ago in the election, I had people say, hey, I would run for office, except I don't have thick enough skin. We're going to lose a lot of good people or a lot of good potential people from our government who could make a difference, who want to make a difference, just because of those types of bully tactics being used all across this country.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a victim of bully tactics myself. I received a death threat when I was on the national committee, for gosh sakes. I mean, somebody was that mad because I decided to vote for Reince Priebus for re-election to RNC chairman that they called my phone anonymously and gave me a death threat. I'm like, okay, well, whatever. Why don't you come say that to my face and see how that works out for you? But anyway, it is frustrating because, I mean, yes, I recognize, and you recognize, Sheriff, that this is a contact sport. And you're going to have to be able to handle some contact and kind of let it roll off of you and not affect your day-to-day operation. And the same thing, even the same thing in the controller's office, we get a little bit of pushback here and there. I mean, it's nothing like what you've had to go through for the past several years, but we still have our detractors. And anytime I post a column up that Ron and I write on a weekly basis, we certainly have plenty of negative comments as well as positive comments. And you can let that go, or you can try and at least reason with that person. And one thing, if you ever see Governor Mike Huckabee when he's on Fox News, he has a little sign. If he's sitting in his office at home in Florida, he has a little sign over his it'd be his left shoulder, but it'd be on the right side of your screen. It says, "Come, let us reason together." We're not doing enough of that, whether it's Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, or whoever. We're not doing enough of that. We're too busy barking at each other over the fence and not taking the time to reach over the fence, shake that person's hand, get to know them, understand where they're coming from. And I think the world would be a little bit better place if we did a little more of that.
Well, I think, too, we need less politicians and more statesmen. I think that that's a big part of what's missing. People just want to fight and argue.
Yeah. Well, and absolutely, and the media hasn't helped that any. They want to get these glitzy little sound bites out there. Nobody's looking at the real story anymore. And it's a travesty where our politics have been, or where they are and where they're going. And unfortunately, there's no end in sight until the people stop listening and start demanding that their representatives actually represent them instead of acting like a bunch of school kids. But time is flying. We're into our next break. We will be right back with our last segment. Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. We're into our last segment of the show already. Gosh, time flies when you have some great guests on and you got some awesome conversation. James, we were talking on the break about how quick time goes before it gets away from us anymore. Tell us, what's going on with Ron's reelection campaign? What's going on in the Office of the Controller? Anything that we have to look forward to in the next 4 years?
Well, one thing I'm crowing about right now in the Office of the Controller is we just got our final fiscal year 17 debt collection numbers back, and we had a debt collection system that we put in about a year and a half ago. It finally got completed after some troubles with the contract. You could read our most recent column. They'll tell you a little bit more about that. But in any event, we increased our debt collection for the state of Nevada over 300% in this last fiscal year with that new system in place. So,
is that those two big guys with the baseball bats I've seen going
around? Yeah. Guido and Louie have been doing their job. But the fact of the matter is now we have a system that's actually helping us do our debt collection. Our next step is getting into things like bank levies and garnishments and that type of thing. So I will warn anybody that owes money to the state that you've been kind of kicking around thinking we're not going to do anything about it for the last few years. When you wake up and your bank account's empty because we came and got your money that way, you might want to figure out a way to take care of this in advance. So feel free to go to controller.nv.gov, and we will be happy to work out a payment plan with you or anything like that. We're not going to judge you or anything like that. We just want to get the money that's owed to the state, and basically that's owed back to the taxpayers, because there's a lot of debt out on the street for the state, and right now I want to make sure that gets collected. Getting back to the election. Controller Connect himself is actually down in Las Vegas today. He's working on the campaign, and we've been hitting the ground running as far as getting the campaign going and really getting out, meeting the folks. This is the fun part, doing things like this, getting out, meeting people, talking to the constituents, understanding the issues, and making sure that we're addressing them. I think that the controller. That Ron Connect has a great message running for re-election as controller. He did what he said he was going to do 4 years ago. He said he was going to get more information out to the taxpayers. The 24-page controller's annual report does that. He said that we were going to be getting more revenue into the state through debt collection. We've just proven a 300% increase in the last fiscal year. We've done the things we said that we were going to do, and we will continue to do that if you put us back in office. If you don't think that we're doing a good job, there is an opponent on the ballot. You're more than welcome to look at that person as well. But I think that you will find, if you look at our record and you look at what we've done over the last 3.5 years to this point, that we've done an outstanding job taking care of the state's money, and we will continue to take good care of the state's money going forward.
Well, and we can't ask for anything more than that. A politician who keeps his word, does right by the people of the state. It makes perfect sense that we should put the man back in.
I can make more money out in the private sector than I can doing the job that I'm doing now. But I'm doing the job that I'm doing as deputy controller because I believe in the man that I'm working for.
Well, I think, too, that your latest article, by the way, readers can or listeners can read that on the storyteller.online. I did post that last article. And
thank you for that.
Yeah, no, and one of the things that I read in that article was that not only did you accomplish all those things, but you managed to save the taxpayers a little bit of money as far as your own internal budget and how you were able to tighten your belt a little bit and enjoy a cost savings. And as you pointed out, if everyone else had done what y'all had done, then instead of needing this commerce tax that has been burdened upon us, we wouldn't need to have any extra tax burden.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we returned over $1 million to the general fund in our first 18 months in office. Based upon the budgets that were submitted by our predecessor, we were able to find ways to cut those costs and still provide the same services and even improve services to the taxpayers.
Well, you can't complain about that, or at least I don't know who would in their right mind anyway. Libertarians don't complain about that, right, Sam?
No, in fact,
librarians either.
That's right. That's right. No, as I was going to say, as you had mentioned that, the enforcement arm of what y'all are doing is there, and of course, in the back of my mind, all tax is theft to me. But, so it's like, wait a second, you're taking that money. But the reality is that those are the rules under which we play today. And if you want to change the rules, you get out there, you engage, and you get changes made. On the other hand, that's your job. The state doesn't run on magic. And so, if folks owe a little bit of money, and I operated a business in California for 25 years, and you know what? There were some times when I owed the state of California some tax revenue, and they were good enough to work with me, and that constant communication was there. But if you owe the money, you're going to pay it one way or another. It's just going to happen.
And one last shout out for Ron's website is rk4nv.com. So that rk4nv.com would be the campaign website.
Well, and I'll wrap up that little section on the debt collection part. Nobody likes to pay their taxes. I won't go as far as Sam as saying that it's theft, but it's pretty dang close to it. just doesn't meet the statutory requirements yet. But, the states are going to get their money. But as you said, James, most places are pretty easy to work with you. I know that Story County has some issues with property taxes and personal taxes, everything. We won't renew licenses, mm-hmm. business licenses and stuff if those aren't taken care of.
And we're doing the same.
They have always been great, at least on the privilege licenses, alcohol, whatnot, that my office handles. You know, whenever there's somebody who's in arrears of any kind, they get a hold of the clerk's office, make arrangements. I've never seen them refuse to work with anybody yet. They've always been pretty good, and we've made sure a couple of doors have stayed open because of that. So, unfortunately, it is a way of the world, so pay your bills, folks. So, we are down to the last 5 minutes. Guys, any final thoughts, anything you want to send out into the world? I've got a couple things I'm going to touch on back in Story County, about Story County, but I want to give you a shot to speak your piece one last time.
As much as anything, Jerry, I appreciate you having me on today. Sheriff, I believe in what you're doing. I think you do a fantastic job as the Story County Sheriff. I'm not a resident of Story County. As I said before, I'm a resident of Lyon County, but you're one of my two favorite sheriffs in the state right at this point in time, and I believe you believe in the Constitution. I think you believe in what the sheriff is supposed to be all about in the county, and you're taking that responsibility seriously, and I want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you for being on the show. Sam?
Well, yeah, you know, as James just suggested, you know, you're a constitutional sheriff and you do your job right. You and I have talked both on my podcast and on this show about the importance of community-based policing and knowing your community and having your deputies, you know, be involved with folks. I think that's essential. And obviously the people of Story County concur with that based upon your four elections. So I think that's great. You know, one of the things that we've got looking forward to us here in Story County is an opportunity to select a person to represent the county commission and the citizens in the county commission. And I know that it's very important for us to be aware of, you know, both the experience of the person that we're going to select and the track record of who we're going to vote for. They're two great candidates. They're both very good friends of mine. And they're different enough candidates that we really do have a good choice looking forward. But I think it's important to recognize that the big money that is out there is important to pay attention to. So with that being said, Story County voters, do your homework. Check out the websites of both Jay Carmona and Nicole Bard, and call them up, talk to them.
Now, and I think we've said that on just about every show is, you know, you have an obligation to be informed, make an informed decision, take your government back, make it work for you. Before we go, we're down to just the last couple of minutes. Wanted to mention I had a meeting yesterday with the Virginia City Cemetery Board. Unfortunately, we do get occasional acts of vandalism and at our historic cemetery. It is full of history, and we love to share it with our visitors and our residents. It is open to the public, but it does close at dark. No one is allowed in the cemetery after dark unless they have special permission from the cemetery board. The sheriff's office does not give permission. It is the cemetery board that must do that. Deputies will issue citations for anybody caught in there after hours without proper authorization.
Unless you're a ghost.
Indeed. please be respectful of our departed, our community, and our history. Unfortunately, many people think we are, but we are not a big amusement park. You know, but that being said, we love everybody to come up and see us. Like said earlier, we have the car show coming up this weekend, this Saturday. Comstock Classic, 6th annual. Come up and take a look. Wander around. Stop in at all the shops. Make sure you leave broke. We'll love you all the more for it. We'll even collect our taxes and send them down to you guys, James.
Perfect. So, send Guido and Louie after you either.
Yeah, there you go. Next week, we will be doing a rebroadcast of a show, or they may fill this time slot with something else because I have to be away for official sheriffing duties. If you can figure out what that is. Actually, a sheriffs and chiefs meeting, I have to go participate in the state level of sheriffing. We will be back here in the studio August 2nd, 1 p.m. We hope that you all will come back and join us then. I want to thank both our guests today. You guys have been great being on here. And I want to thank you, the listener, for sharing your time with us. We had all kinds. You have a whole world of choices out there. But if you're here listening, you chose us. And for that, we greatly appreciate you. Gentlemen, best to Ron. Best to both of you. Thanks for coming on. We will. I have no doubt that we will have you back. And if Ron is ever of a mind to come on the show, let him know. We'd love to have him on here, too.
We'll make it happen, Sheriff. We'll make it happen.
Always love talking to Ron. He's a great guy.
Yes, he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, be safe, be well, and God bless.